You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 591, recorded on March 5th, 2019. Digital Side Doors. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we are joined by Pastor Peter Hagen from Maumee, Ohio, talking about digital side doors to our churches. How do we make available to as wide of audience as possible ways for people to get connected with us and ultimately to come and visit? Also, a brand new announcement about a new Amazon Alexa skill, Wells Through My Bible, is now available. We have our picks. Great ministry resource from Koine Worship Media, community feedback, of course, video of the week from Koine as well. All that and more, stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is Martin Spriggs, and we're at episode 591, and it's March 5th, 2019, the week of Ash Wednesday, Sally.
That's right. And I am Sally Draper. I'm joining you, Martin, from Arkansas today.
Sally, so I know who you are. You don't need to introduce yourself to me. We've done this 591 times.
Like it gets kind of old, huh? Yeah.
And you're from Arkansas, kind of.
I am. And I have to give a special shout out to our fellow saints at King of Kings Lutheran Church in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Church visiting this weekend, huh?
I did, and it was wonderful to worship with them and attend Bible class. Just a great group of people, yeah. And really enjoyed it. And the pastor said y'all at least three times during the service.
No,
during the service.
Okay.
It was exciting.
Felt right at home, did you?
I did.
Okay. So what are some of your insights or takeaways from your church visit so far? How many have you visited, or approximately, and what are your impressions?
Well, we've been at it since June of 2018, okay. And I believe the count is 18 different places that we've worshiped in that time period, which has been super cool. Yeah. And impressions. For the most part, once we got out of the Midwest, the congregations are smaller than what you experience there, but such a family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's what Bible class was really kind of focused on, is worshiping together and holding each other up as the fellowship of believers and stuff.
Neat.
So just a really
neat
special
experience.
Blessing to get that perspective. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Elijah thinking that he was the last one. And, you know, there was a remnant of, I think, 7,000 mm-hmm. at that time. And when you get out and you start seeing all these different congregations all over the country, it just really encourages you. Because once we're in just a single setting, we kind of forget about all our family of believers that's out there.
Yeah, so. And at some point in most of those locations, there was a little group of believers that said, hey, we want to be here and do some ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of neat. Yep.
Let's get started.
So how many states have you been keeping track? Your goal was all 50, right?
Right. And yeah, I can't tell you exactly how many states that is. I'd have to look it up.
But you got a ways to go.
Right. Yeah, we've been pretty much that corridor from Wisconsin down to Mississippi, basically. We haven't branched out very much, but there's time.
Yep.
So,
speaking of visiting churches, it's kind of related to our topic of the day. There are lots of ways that people come into churches, and there are lots of ways that churches and their members try to make their doors as wide open as possible to invite Wells folks and those who maybe don't know their Savior yet as well. We're calling them digital side doors, and
yeah, we're calling them that, but actually Pastor Peter Hagen cloned that term for us, so that's where it came
from.
That's
right. And I was just going to give him credit.
Okay.
Because we did have a chance. Well, we stumbled on, I think, this concept in Wells Intersections, or did he reach out directly to us, or both, probably?
It was kind of both.
Yeah.
There was a conversation in Wells Intersections, which is a Facebook group, and he kind of took it to the next step and reached out and said he thought this might be a good topic for discussion on Wells Tech.
Yep. And we've mentioned him in the past because of a podcast. And we talked a little bit about that podcast when we were interviewing him for, you know, we're going to play here in just a minute, the Raised With Him podcast. Exceedingly well done. And you know, it's important to kind of think of different avenues that the Lord has opened to different people with different gifts at different times. And that's kind of what my main takeaway from our interview. So before we give too much of it away, let's play the interview, and then we can come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Pastor Peter Hagen. He is serving Resurrection Lutheran Church in Maumee, Ohio. And he's also the voice behind a daily podcast called Race with Jesus from Resurrection. We're happy to have you, Pastor. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. We would love to know a little bit more about you before we dive into the heavy, hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I graduated Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in 2011. And then served with Pastor Getzinger at St. Paul in Ottawa for 2 years. Because during my vicar year, I had met my wife, well, my now wife, Desiree, and immigration, long story. But long story somewhat shorter. Served for about 4.5 years in Fairmont, Minnesota, a lovely place, town of Five Lakes. And now here in Maumee, Ohio. We've been here for about 8 months. Have two little boys, Joel and Leland, and recently, soon after moving in, converted our garage into a school space because we're anticipating homeschooling our boys. And that really is, that's really the highlights, I suppose.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, the one of the reasons that your name may sound familiar, as Sally mentioned, is the Raised with Jesus podcast. Tell us a little bit more about that. That's a daily podcast that you've started. Tell us a little bit of the history and what kind of reaction you're getting to it.
Yeah, the whole podcast idea actually started back in 2015. One of our members back in Fairmont, his name was Andy Jacobson, and he's a plumber by trade. And working by himself for a lot of these days, he would just flip in his Bluetooth earpiece and kind of cruise through podcasts. And he's like, tell you what, why don't we start a podcast? Because he's like, you've got a Mac, all you need is a microphone, and then it's pretty much gravy from there. And I'm like, wow, well, we could do that. And did that for about 1.5 years there in Fairmont. And I think at first I bit off more than I could chew because we were publishing about, I don't know, 10 to 12 episodes a week, which was a little bit much. But then after getting the call here to Fairmont, I had discussed the concept with our leadership. And for me, it's really a theological thing that if you want to let God do his work, that means getting people into contact with the Word of God. And living in kind of a suburban area, I thought that the podcast idea would fit really well as people who are on the move, getting, you know, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets theirs. And so Monday through Friday, we do a daily Bible reading of about 20 verses, a little bit of commentary. Saturday is usually a study Saturday where I get some audio from another source. And then Sunday morning is a Sunday morning preview. And it's been holding pretty steady with the number of downloads per day. Overall, the trend is in a good direction.
What kind of prep is necessary, time commitment, as other pastors are maybe thinking about getting into this area? What did that mean for you, and what does it mean now?
Well, back in Fairmont, we were hosting through our website on Squarespace, and that was about like a 10 to 12 step process between recording to finally uploading it. But now having switched to Podbean, it's a little bit simpler. And then I just set up a template in GarageBand that uses a little bit of audio background. And then I read or say a little bit of an introduction each day. And the music is actually from Koinei, so they let me use it for free.
Nice.
Yeah, it really is. And then once I've got that template set up, then all it takes is a few minutes of looking at the text and making sure I've got the two or three points that I want to draw out. And it's about 25 minutes for recording, uploading, and then doing all the like and share thing on Facebook.
Excellent. So obviously digital avenues don't intimidate you. It's something that you've been able to master. It's reasonable to do. And podcasting is just one of something we might term digital side doors. Actually, you came up with that exact term, and ways to reach people maybe through different media or different websites or whatever before they walk in your door, if they do so venture or whatever. Tell us what you're envisioning with that concept of digital side doors.
Yeah, and I think the best way to talk about that is in comparison to like a front door. So like your church's front door is your Sunday morning worship service, and maybe you include Bible class in there as well. Just opportunities where people walk through your doors for the purpose of hearing the Word of God. The idea of side doors is different ways that people come into contact with your church or with your congregation in other events or other avenues, like a VBS or a community cookout or something like that. But opportunities for your people to get in contact with the community, or opportunities for the community to come into your place. Like, you know, if we're hosting another October seminar, Saturday seminar, we're going to be inviting the community to hear about the topic of child safety. And that I kind of see as a side door, where it's not expressly a sharing of the gospel, but it is part of the community awareness and inviting our church to, you know, get to know some of the people that we have here and hopefully get a good turnout from our membership. But then side doors, we also have like a physical side door coming into a seminar or VBS, but then digital side doors would be everything else. You know, your presence on social media, your YouTube live streaming of worship services, QR codes that we put onto physical pamphlets, and even, you know, our presence on Instagram that we kind of put out on our sign out by the road, which is kind of funny, you know, changing all these letters and a very manual sign. And kind of the big principle that we've got behind that is every physical includes a digital, and every digital includes a physical, and with a priority of moving toward that physical contact and eventually a walk through that front door. So we want to demonstrate that digital viewability, I suppose, in a physical way, so they can see our brochure and look us up on Instagram from the back of the brochure, or check out our YouTube channel. And they can also go to that YouTube channel and see live stream worship service. But the benefit there is that, you know, we've got kind of the glimpse of whatever you're scrolling through on Facebook or Instagram. That's kind of a short form, you know, just takes 5 seconds and then you keep on scrolling. But digital also allows for what I call kind of a long form content. That would be like a blog post, a podcast, a short YouTube video, like Darren Lindemann or Luke Italiano or Tom of Grace do. But those are opportunities for people to get to know what we do and what we're like, really, before they eventually, hopefully, make that step through the front door of a worship service.
So that's a great point. Obviously, there is a end game here. You want to make this two-way rather than one-way. Digital is at least initially one-way. What are some of your experiences or maybe suggestions, strategies for nurturing these relationships? It's ministry has, you know, you always have a lot of irons in the fire. You want to be a good steward of your time and resources. What have your experiences been and suggestions for kind of taking that next step to make those connections?
That's a really good question. I think the primary thing is that when we talk about digital side doors, it's kind of at the end of a longer chain of visibility and discussion. So a congregation or in any organization has to think about how they communicate, and that everything that we do is part of that communication, down to worship style, down to what we put on social media or what people tag us in. And so as a congregation, we have to be thinking, well, do we have a website, and is it up to date and mobile friendly? Secondly, do we have a calendar that somebody can see on Google? kind of the nuts and bolts of the physical side. You know, we talk about taking attendance and annual report, plan of ministry, all that stuff. But once those basics are in place, you know, good stewardship means let's work on these basics first. Once those basics are in place, then that digital presence really adds as much credibility as it is visibility. It's happened to me probably three times in the last month and a half where I'm meeting with a new couple that for some reason came into contact with our congregation. And I talked about, you know, the backside of our general, you know, pamphlet. And I said, well, you can check us out, follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, if anybody uses Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I think you do. A few. And so they look at that and they kind of have a different look in their eye, like, oh, that's where I live. You know, I live on Facebook, Instagram. I'm familiar with that. And this church is there too. And it just lends that extra bit of credibility to say, well, maybe I will check you out there. And maybe you are just normal people kind of like me that are worth coming back to see again. So it's, I think a lot of it is a credibility as well as the visibility. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody does come through the door, then the goal is to get a textable phone number that we can follow up with them. And working on a project right now to hopefully get a few more of our NPH publications onto Audible. Talk with Mark Buskey about that a little bit. And the hope is that I'd be able to share a book to that person as part of the follow-up. An audiobook that they can listen to and get an extended exposure to what we believe and teach so that God can do his work even while they're driving down the road.
That's, as you were talking, a couple words came to mind, mindful and purposeful ministry, and you're kind of connecting the dots for a lot of these folks. And it's really not just all content you create, but pointing them in the direction of other content that can enrich them and, you know, introduce them to a deeper, you know, that deeper relationship that you hope they have with their Savior. That's got to be pretty rewarding to see that happen.
Yeah, it so far it has been. The time investment is actually pretty minimal once you do all the setup. And, you know, I set up a post for, you know, using Buffer, so I don't have to, I can do that right after I set up a podcast, and then I don't have to think about it again until the next day. And it really streamlines and seems like good stewardship, at least to me, with a priority on the spiritual. But at the same time, you know, Facebook could say, invite all your friends to like Resurrection Lutheran Church of Maumee, Ohio. Frankly, I'm not all that concerned about having my mom like my like our Facebook page, right?
it wouldn't be a negative. But,
you know. No, it wouldn't be a negative, but she's, you know, 5 or 6 hours away.
Exactly, yeah.
And if we want to target our advertising at some point to those who like our page, you know, she's not going to drive all this way to come to a worship service, and she already is a Wells member.
Right.
And so that's kind of the last part is hopefully connecting that digital presence and that digital content to a local congregation to say, you know, check us out at 9 a.m., 2250, you know, address or whatever, and including in the show notes a Wells locator link so that you can find, you know, where's a nearby Wells church. Because most of we've got a large number of listeners from Ohio, a few listeners from Minnesota, of course, and then a surprisingly somewhat almost as large number of listeners from California is our experience. And to try and connect those people with Wisconsin Synod Church out there that teaches the same thing that you're hearing on a podcast is kind of the overall goal, I suppose.
Excellent. Any success stories that you'd care to share?
A little bit. Down in southern Minnesota, as far as digital front doors, southern Minnesota has had quite the bit of snowfall these past few weeks.
Yes.
And I did get a couple of different texts from former members down there who had tuned into our live stream and attended church that way because they literally couldn't get out of their driveways. And the only way that they knew about it was through the podcast. And, you know, wonderful comments. And just to say, you know, it was really nice to worship with you today because we couldn't gather for worship here. We do have a baptism coming up this Sunday, for one of those, you know, the child of one of those couples that I had mentioned earlier. And I'll be following up with them to hopefully say, well, give us a second look. And you don't even have to come to a class right now to give us a second look, but subscribe and make this part of your everyday routine. But that, you know, the success story side of it, still kind of figuring this out for myself, you know, how the technology all works together and what's the simplest and easiest way to make it all happen and to stitch it all together. So in a sense, it's still a work in progress.
Guessing it will always be a work in progress. That's what ministry is about, is continuing to refine. It sounds like you're going down a good path.
We try. And I mean that concept of fellowship that we have here, and not just plugging in through the podcast or through a video, but also coming and sharing in the fellowship here has been one of our selling features, selling points. When we're talking to people who maybe don't have that sort of unity of doctrine, or they've experienced, you know, divisions in the church and what do I actually believe? Mm-hmm. But to have a church, as our Wisconsin Synod churches are, founded on the Word of God and sharing a unity that nobody else really knows about, is just a tremendous blessing.
Absolutely. Well, we will pray for continued blessings on your efforts there at Resurrection, and we'll keep our ears open for new digital side doors you're opening.
We'll try.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you to Pastor Hagen for joining us. And but he does have a voice for podcast, doesn't he? Nice, smooth delivery.
Yes. Mellow, I think, mm-hmm. is what you said.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And he obviously gives a lot of thought to this. He actually followed up, Martin, with an email, and I wanted to be sure and read that on the show as well. He said, while a podcast might be helpful for congregation, it might be even better as a joint effort among
right.
a few pastors
I didn't
in
think
an
of
area.
That. Right.
They'd be able to collaborate and encourage the listener to check out any of the local congregations. The bonus is an instantly larger pool of listeners who are encouraged to share. As long as the content is worthwhile, it's consistent and regular, and the audio quality is good. It's a modern version of a radio broadcast from days gone by.
Right. Share the load. You know, two heads, mm-hmm. three heads, whatever are better than one, and you get people a little bit of variety as well. So that's a great point. A number of tools that he talked about, talking about how he does the podcast and other options, other digital side doors. One thing that he mentioned was buffer.com, and we've mentioned that, I think, long ago. It's been a while since we mentioned that, but there are nice automation tools out there, Hootsuite's and other, that allow you to kind of pre-schedule these things, and they presuppose, at least in my mind, they presuppose a kind of a schedule so that you're looking ahead, that, and he mentioned it too, a kind of a purposeful ministry where you're trying to schedule this out, that it's not just, well, when I have time or when I think about it, there's really a goal connected with it, and it shows when you're kind of thinking that far ahead, and it makes a difference.
Yeah, and that whole automation piece, making it easier on you to get
right.
it done and get it done consistently,
win-win.
As he mentioned. And, you know, you can do that in so many ways. Certainly those tools, Hootsuite and Buffer, are dedicated to releasing
social media
posts on schedule
right.
and things like that. But you can build that right into like a WordPress
sure.
blog with scheduling your post. Or you can use tools like If This Then That to connect things. So if this happens, then it triggers another automatic response or whatever. So spend the time, you know, roll up your sleeves, get that working well for you, and then you can kind of forget about all that automation and everything and just enjoy doing the work of putting together the podcast or whatever.
Yep. So thanks again to Peter for taking the time, and blessings on your work there in Maumee outside of Toledo, Ohio. So good stuff. Very good stuff. So those technologies that we talked about in the podcast, of course, will be linked to in the show notes. Should we move on to news and tech?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week with news and tech.
Odd things going on in the world of, yeah. of cell phones. Or I don't know if they're actually We're talking about foldable phones. I don't know if you unfold a phone or you fold up a tablet. You know, there's a couple now that have been introduced by Huawei and Samsung, these foldable devices, which are kind of interesting. They kind of fold, they're the two that are mentioned in the article here. These were, I think, at Mobile World Congress, maybe, where the Huawei phone actually folds the reverse of a book, kind of like you're folding back a notebook on itself. So the screen is on the outside, back and front, and then you can unfold it, and it becomes probably closer to tablet size. And then the Samsung one folds more like a book, but it also has a screen on the outside. These things are weird. Mm-hmm. Not only are they weird, they're expensive. So they're in the $2,000 to $2,500 range. So I don't think they're expecting to sell a lot of these, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to see a lot of these, you know, in the grocery store or whatever. But I think they suggest a technology that might, maybe, you know, in a few years be usable. And, you know, that does make a lot of sense. You see in sci-fi a lot, you know, these kinds of concept things where they're folding, you know, and unfolding things, and you know, they have it in their back pocket, and then it expands to a foot by a foot, you know, those kinds of things. And then there's definitely usefulness to that. Right now we have separate devices. I have a separate phone and an iPad and a computer, and I'm thinking that some of these technologies are going to bring those all maybe into a single, you know, a single device. So very interesting.
I'm thinking some of those visionaries have eyes like mine that are really
they
struggling
need the big
to see
print.
These small screens.
Large print editions, yes.
There you go.
All right, so that's news in tech. We'll keep an eye on this and see what happens. But interesting stuff.
And Martin, you have some Wells Now news to share as well.
Moving on to Wells Now. Yeah, maybe a month or two ago, we announced that Wells Daily Devotions, which is a daily podcast, it's actually written and an audio version that we produce through the Congregational Services Group and available on our website and at whataboutjesus.com, was available on Alexa, Amazon's Alexa. I just muted her so she would not be waking up here at my desk.
No donuts for me today.
Right, no donuts. No Alexa donuts. Anyway, so that was a couple of months ago where we made Wells Daily Devotions available. We had mentioned at that point that maybe there was more to come, and now that time has come where we now have available the Through My Bible in 3 Years series, which is a daily Bible reading. I don't know if you call it a podcast or not, but about 10 minutes or less each day of the year for 3 years, you will, if you listened every day, you would listen through or could read through the Bible in 3 years. So it was an MPH series that appeared, and I don't know if it still does or not, in Forward in Christ for many, many years, where you know each month you'd have the 28, 29, 30, 31 readings for the month. That's been put on whataboutjesus.com and wells.net. And then my father-in-law, Pastor David Witte, who's in heaven now, but he spent 3 years and read through the Bible and recorded it. And those are available now, not just on the website and through the Wells app, but now on Alexa as well. And just a reminder, that is through the flash briefing function, which is kind of a little news feed you can put together. You've got to go into settings and click on flash briefings, and then you can pick different things you want to play when you ask Alexa to play your flash briefing, or Alexa, what's in the news or what's in my news, and then she'll start playing your schedule. So you could line up your daily devotion and Through the Bible in 3 years and NPR News and, you know, whatever. It's just a great way to start the day. I listen to it over my cereal in the morning. And just a great opportunity to have God's Word fed to you. So that is available now. So I'll just search for Wells Through My Bible in that flash briefing area when you're adding content, and you should find it. By the way, if you do use it, please leave a recommendation or a rating. That's very helpful. Obviously, the more ratings a piece of content or a skill, as Alexa calls it or as Amazon calls it, gets, the more likely that others might find it. And then you can not only enjoy it yourself, but hopefully others will enjoy it as well.
Excellent. Shout out to our Alexa development staff. That would be staff of one, yeah. Mr. Martin Spriggs. We appreciate your work on that, Martin.
Oh, it's a labor of love. So hopefully that changes some lives, perhaps, for the better.
Excellent.
I think it is now time to go to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is a tech solution for getting all kinds of logo emblazoned gear. And it is a website called Printify, which is basically print on demand t-shirts or whatever other types of apparel or equipment you'd like your logo to be on. So I think this would be appropriate for churches and schools to give this a consideration to get apparel, perhaps, that they can make available in their congregation or school. The one that I found most recently, Printify, has everything from all types of shirts and things to leggings and shoes and shower curtains and pillow covers and all kinds of different things that you can upload your own imagery, have it available for purchase in a print-on-demand type store. So you don't have to have any inventory or have any outlay of funds. Actually, sign up for a free account, upload your material, your imagery, and place it on the different things that you'd like to sell. You don't have to sell everything that they make available. You can pick and choose which items you'd like. You can have more than one image that you use. So if you want to have variety and come up with different t-shirt designs or whatever, you can do that. And I will say Printify is just one of many that's out there. You can certainly Google and read reviews and things like that about different ways of doing this. But could be a fairly simple and cost-effective way to make apparel available with your different logos on it.
So have you tried this? Where did this come into your life?
Yeah, I actually am looking at putting some llama stuff on because I'm doing some llama work and I love llamas. So I was looking at putting together some llama t-shirts just to have available on a personal website. So
yeah, this seems like a good way to do a low volume, kind of like you mentioned, on demand, just kind of a one-off. Or if you're not expecting to, open up a full store but want to make these available, this could be used by a youth group or a school. Or, that kind of thing. You'd have to obviously do some price comparison. But if you're just doing small volume, this sounds like a good way to do it. And very flexible.
Definitely. And it's geared toward adding a profit margin over and above the cost. And so you can make that slim to nothing if you don't really want to have any markup on it. Obviously, in a church setting, you aren't looking to make profits necessarily off your t-shirt sales, but just to make them available without any cost outlay to you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Sally, my pick of the week is one of the tools that I know I use a lot, and I think maybe some of you out there might have some use for it. It's called Bitly. Bitly is a link shortener, and one way that I use it a lot is especially for links that might appear in print. So you want to make a memorable link to a website or something that maybe doesn't have the prettiest of URLs. So you go to Bitly, bit.ly or bitly.com. I think they have a domain there as well, and you can shorten the links. One of the nice things, however, which I just found out the other day, is that they have a feature that comes along with the free version called branded short domains, which means that if you have a domain or a subdomain, so for instance, wells.net is a domain, or wellstech.wells.net is a subdomain, you can use that as a short domain and have your own link shortener, basically, branded to you. So what we're doing for Synod Convention, we have a Synod Convention every 2 years. And this year, the 500 delegates there are going to experience the first Synod Convention that will be paperless. So it's really, it's kind of scary too, but... So everybody's going to be asked to bring their devices and use that to read the resolutions and the other presentations and material. So we wanted to make it super easy for them to grab these links because we're posting a lot of these on our Office 365 account, and that's got a big old long ugly URL, and it's going to be difficult for them, especially if they're on devices trying to type all that stuff in. So we wanted to use a short domain, so I thought, well, let's use Bitly. So what I was able to do is secure a domain called wells.link. I didn't even know that was a thing, wells.link, and then that's our shorter branded domain. Attach that to our Bitly account, and then you can make short links off of that. You can name them whatever you want. So if you have a link to, you know, a presentation, it'd be wells.link/prez2019 or whatever. So super easy. It makes you look a little bit more professional. And I think for a lot of churches and schools, there's application here too. You can get your own branded short domain. If you have Final Web, this is kind of built in, but not all websites friendly. Do that either. Yeah, friendly URLs, they call it in Final Web, but not everybody's using Final Web. And this is actually a way to kind of make your own little shortener. Like we didn't use wells.net/, we used wells.link/. And then you can also get analytics from it. So Bitly is good at giving you kind of the results of how many people clicked on that link. And there's good, I think there's use for this in a congregation or a school, especially if you have print material or put it on a sign or whatever, that you want people to be able to remember the link. So this is just, and it's free. There are pricing tiers. I think you only get maybe 1,000. I have to look at the limitations again. There are some limitations for the free account. I think you get, maybe it is even over only 100 a month, 100 new links you can create a month. But for most of us, that's going to be fine. Just a little tip, and Bitly is a great way to do that. There are other link shorteners, of course, as well. But this comes along with that branded short domain. So pretty cool.
Good stuff. Thanks for investigating that and learning all about it.
All right. Let's go on to our ministry resource of the week.
Yeah, just thought it would be appropriate to do a shout out to Koine Worship Media. We had the guys from Koine on Wells Tech last fall, and they told us about this new venture where they're making free worship media available on their website. And this is everything from musical scores and chord charts and things like that, imagery and videos with and without them singing the vocals on the songs that they've made available. All you have to do is sign up on their website for a free account. I just did it. Took me about 20 seconds to get signed up, and I was in and have access to everything that they're making available there. When we talked to them last fall, Martin, the list was fairly short,
right,
but
they were just
it has
getting going.
Really grown, and especially at this time of year as we're approaching Lent starting tomorrow and Easter, there are a lot of Lent and Easter resources available out on their website. Like I said, a variety of things you get. I really like that they have scored video. That's a class of media that they have available with and without the accompanying vocals. And what it does is it puts the musical notation on the video. So you're not just singing along with the lyrics on the screen, but you're actually able to follow the flow of the musical notes. You're able to see those on the screen. They highlight as each individual syllable is sung or part of the song, and really a great way to project your songs for worship so that people can actually follow the music. Those that even people that don't read music, I think, are pretty used to following the up and down flow of the notes. They know if one note's higher than the other or whatever. And I think that's a really impressive thing that they make available, that kind of thing.
And their pricing model is unique as well, as we talk to them, right?
Right. Everything is free. Certainly, they request, if you are interested, to make donations to the effort.
Right. Mm-hmm. So very within reach for most ministries that want to take advantage of that. So good stuff.
Definitely.
Good shout out to Koine. We're going to come back to them in a minute. Let's move on to community feedback.
Yeah, and I'm actually throwing a curveball, Martin, because I don't think I discussed with you that I remembered as we were talking about Pastor Hagen at the beginning of the show that he messaged me another message after we had done our recording with him, and it was about a particular hardware device. It's called the Tascam Room Recorder, and he says it retails for about $100. I want to say maybe at Best Buy. I'm not sure where he got it, but you certainly, we can certainly include a link. We'll find a link to it and include it in the show notes. He says it's perfect for recording audio in a large room, like a classroom, catechism class, worship space, those kind of settings. And he's been using it actually for several years. And sometimes he even includes audio from this in his Race with Jesus podcast. So it does a really good job. He says, this device plus Audacity or GarageBand on a Mac makes for an easy podcast broadcast of the things we already do as churches and schools. So if you're looking maybe to just podcast your weekly Bible class or your catechism class or whatever, this device, he says, it writes to micro USB, and it has a line in and line out and USB connection. So a lot of versatility there. You get an MP3 file from it, and you can use it in whatever way you need to use audio. So
neat. Tascam is a company that's been around a long time, and they make really good audio equipment. So yeah, this would be, I've not heard of the Room Recorder. In fact, I'm searching for it. So if we have a link, that'd be great. It's but
DR05.
DR05. Okay. That's helpful.
It says Linear PCM Recorder. So
neat.
I didn't look it up yet, but I definitely
there
will.
There it is.
And, yeah. We'll throw a link out there.
Pretty cool. Yeah. That's important to get that audio as good a quality as you can get. So, he took our advice and grabbed the, I'm going to struggle for the name now.
The ATR.
ATR microphone. He was using that in our interview. It sounded really good. So,
yeah,
same as what you're using.
That's right. All right, moving on, a little announcement from code.org. They are gearing up for summer professional development. They have two different professional developments they're going to be offering across the country with different partners. One of them is titled CS Discovery, CS for Computer Science. The other is CS Principles. So the first one is geared for grades 6 through 10, and the second for grades 9 through 12. The idea is to teach teachers who aren't familiar with computer science how to teach students coding and all different aspects of their education process. So these are awesome professional development things that are going to be offered, but the big news was that they're offering all kinds of scholarships to these professional development events. So we'll have a link in the show notes. You can put in your zip code and it'll show you what professional development events are available in your area. I put in the Milwaukee zip code, and there's one at Marquette on July 22nd through 26th. And then others in Green Bay and La Crosse that came up as well. And it tells you, actually, for Milwaukee Public School teachers, it's free, which is amazing. They got funding through the National Science Foundation. But they said for all other teachers, the program is $1,530 for travelers and $990 for commuters. However, they have generous support from code.org, and there are many scholarships available to cover those costs. And so if you're interested in attending, they have a link on their website where you can fill out an application for a scholarship to get in on this professional development. And even though the dates I announced, you know, what is 4 or 5 day long sessions that they're planning, they're also planning follow-up let me see how they described it. Ongoing support through the school year for in-person sessions in your region with virtual options available and continued professional development and resources. So this is the gift that keeps on giving. If you can get one of these scholarships, go for free this summer and then continue to get professional development throughout the school year. Sounds like a great thing to be a part of.
And do they say where these are? The locations are not set
well, you
yet?
Put in your zip and it gives you the locations in your area. Like I said, Milwaukee, it was Marquette,
all
and then
right.
There's another one in Green Bay and another one in La Crosse.
They're all over, the country, though.
Exactly,
it's not just
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Wisconsin. Good.
Right. It's all, you know, driven off your zip code. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you what's close to you.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a great thing they're doing to get all that computer science training out there. So a couple of things to mention from the Wells Google Schools community. That's over on Google Plus, and I navigated over to take a look, and it had this sad little message that Google Plus is going away for non-education accounts, at least, maybe non-business accounts. But Wells Google Schools continues to thrive, at least as of now. People are still making use of that. There were two articles that were linked to from there, both about Google updates. One of them is in production. It's something called Intelligent Search, and it's available in Google Drive now for all G Suite editions. And basically, it'll suggest search queries to you. When you click into the search bar in Google Drive, it'll show you people you've collaborated with on documents. So you can click on someone's face, an image from their Google profile, and it'll show you all the documents that you share with each other that you've collaborated on. It also allows you to search by file type, edit history, priority items, and more. So just a lot more intelligent search that's happening there in Google Drive. One of those things that's kind of ubiquitous until it's just like, wow, that's really nice that came up that way. And So they're actually doing work to make that happen for you. The other one is a beta announcement, and it's for teachers using Google Classroom. You can sign up for Gradebook and Locked Mode on Quizzes. Both of those are in beta. And we'll have the link where you can sign up to be part of that beta. I want to say the discussion over on Google Plus was that no one's gotten invited into the beta yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, and you can still, you know, request access or whatever. So in Gradebook, it says teachers can see all grades for a class, add and update grades for classwork classwork created in Classroom, create grading categories and set weighted percentages or default points for each, and then view an overall grade for a student based on all work in the class. And then with the locked mode on quizzes, this has to do with Google Forms, using them as a quiz tool, you can lock the browser on Chromebooks managed by your school while they're taking the quiz. Students won't be able to leave the quiz until they submit their answers. And you can turn that off for any quiz created with Google Forms.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, turn it on. Created with Google Forms or in Google Classroom. So either way, you can use that lock quiz. So I guess the good news for the rest of us is, even if it's slow coming out in beta, eventually it'll make it out into the mainstream. And those are some of the things we can look forward to in the future.
Yeah, my wife was singing the praises of Google Classroom just the other day. And I think she said there is some grading functionality in there. I really actually
already
never used it. But this sounds like they're taking it to the next level with a lot of different functionality.
Yeah,
here.
Definitely.
So, cool.
Definitely.
Very good.
All right. Another message from Pastor Peter Hagen.
It's
really,
the Peter
it was more
Hagen
of a discussion.
Show, right?
Yeah, that's what we should name this. It was more of a discussion. He started a discussion out in Wells Intersections on Facebook asking about a visual communication planner type thing. So I'm just going to read a little bit from this. They're using two major communication outlets, the Sunday Bulletin and a midweek email. He's looking for ways to organize and prioritize and timeline the communications that go into those. And he thought Trello would work, and it kind of does, but it's too wide. So one thing about Trello is things fall off the edge to the right side of your screen. You have to scroll
physically,
horizontally to
physically
see
physically wide, he meant, right?
Yes.
Yeah, not... Okay, got it.
And then, but he likes the fact, you know, that it's web-based and things like that.
Sounds
He's
like a reason to get a couple
better.
More monitors you can string side by side.
There you go. I actually, at one point, used a plug-in. I'll have to look it up, but I'll throw a link in the show notes that would take all your list and put them on one screen. So you got a shorter look at your list. You have to scroll within the list, but they all are fitting on one screen, so you can see a lot more of your list that way. So that might be a solution. And there was some conversation back and forth. The main ones I saw mentioned were Monday.com, which is similar to Trello.
I see that all over the place. Yeah, I've got to try that once.
Yeah. So
very good.
Good conversation.
So if you have any feedback on that, let us know. And we'll talk more after this, the last one, about how to do that. So Give us the last one, Sal. That was a
one
tease.
More piece of community right. feedback from Teacher Michael Vliger, who is at Risen Savior Lutheran School in Mankato, Minnesota. Heard a conversation recently on Wells Tech where we were talking about filtering, and he is using securely.com. Mm-hmm. He says it does an excellent job and provides a wide range of services. Besides filtering our network traffic as a whole, they also allow us to dictate classroom-specific filters.
That's
cool. In the past,
yeah.
He says he specifically blocked keywords or even websites like the local news station because the kids were constantly checking to see if school was called off. Mm-hmm. Those kids in Mankato, they have had a lot of days out of school, I believe.
About every other day this year.
Yeah. And then he said individual teachers can also set up time-based filters that allow access to usually block sites or allow only certain sites. Using Google Classroom class rosters even.
Oh, really?
And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They also provide a feature to flag cyberbullying and self-harm, and then parents receive a weekly email of their child's browsing history. It says, we don't allow students to take home their devices, but they recently had a webcast where Securely promotes a device parents can lease to provide filtering on their home network. Parents can pause the internet and adjust filtering levels via an app, and more security services are in the pipeline. But he did mention also that's basically a premium version of Securely.
Right.
They have a free Chromebook extension that allows schools to filter their devices at no cost, but it's a one-size-fits-all solution. There's no access to any of those mm-hmm. features that he was describing that they're
making. Which is where a lot of the power is, just because one-size-fits-all usually doesn't fit all in a school setting,
right.
certainly, because
exactly.
you have different grade
different grade levels.
Right.
Jinx. Yeah. All right. That wraps up community feedback for today, Mark.
All right. And we would love for you to chime in if you've got maybe answers to Peter's questions or other cool stuff like Michael brought to the table that might be useful to other churches and schools. You have a way to do that. You can go to wellstech.wells.net. And that's our show notes page. Every show has a show notes entry. Sally can attest to that because she did them all. But we also have links there to get in touch with us. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. You can go to Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, all those places. There's links to all that stuff. Our Google Groups page, our Wells Tech Google Groups page, all of the stuff is there. So no barriers between you and us. So if you want to get information to us, ask us a question, give us some feedback, that would be super awesome. So please do that. Sally, we're going to do our video of the week.
We are. And believe it or not, it comes from Koine Worship Media. That's who we recognized as a ministry resource, and we wanted to share one of their Lenten hymns, He Stood Before the Court. This is one with musical notation like I described, so you can see how that works. Mm-hmm. And we will include a link and actually embed the video right there on wellstech.wells.net. So check out our show notes.
Such good stuff there coming out of Koine. Mm-hmm. Cool. Next week, we're going to do show 592. We'll be in the middle of Lent. We're going to continue our once-a-month focus on intranets. Last month, Sally was up at the plate, and she talked about using Google Drive and Google Sites and Google Stuff for a potential church intranet. I'm going to take my turn at the plate, and I'm going to talk about Trello, which we just mentioned earlier in the show, and how that could potentially be used to organize your stuff and give access to the right stuff to the right people in an intranet, church intranet type session. So we will give you maybe a quick demo of that, and hopefully that would pique your interest as well. So come back next week for
good
that.
Stuff. Looking yep. forward to it.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're really happy that you decided to do that again. And hopefully you'll come back next week. Blessings on your Ash Wednesday and Lenten journey. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.